How you guys going? You guys going good? You having fun so far? Yeah, sweet. Hey, before anything, I just wanted to thank, thanks, Boxy, Anthony Box. Hey, before anything else, I know Trent already thanked a lot of people. Thank you, I. But I just wanted to thank so much Trent and Lisa Callis, because you know what? These two just see the best in absolutely everyone around them. And I think just the wisdom that you've just outlaid in people. Wow. Well, I'm just getting almost. Anyway, just the wisdom that you outlay and just impart into people, and just how you just see us, how you see the best in absolutely everyone. We just want to thank you. And you, I don't know if you, I just feel like you've affected so many people than you actually really think you have. You know what I mean? And just not on behalf of me, but on behalf of all the leaders that have gone through my youth and are in my youth and generations and in One Love. We just really want to thank you. This ministry is getting built by Christ. But then thank you so much for taking the call and saying yes to Jesus. And just we thank you for what you give to us all the time. So thank you so much. Give them a hand. Thank you. And one more thing. Just trying to get things out of the way. Where's Jake Burgess? Is Jake Burgess here? Hey, man. Hey, buddy. It's on the camera. Just wanted to let you know not to forget your first love. In the very first moment that you've encountered Jesus, don't forget that. Don't let that get stale. I saw you in worship, and I don't know what's going through, and I was praying for you, but just don't forget that first moment that you know how you felt Jesus' love? Just don't forget that. Just hold on to that. When times get really tough, just go back to that, all right? The man, Jake. Awesome. All right, cool. Let's go. All right, so let's just pray before I start. I know it's going to be a dense message. Hey, dear God, thank you so much. We thank you so much for just saving all of us. Thank you so much for everything that you've done. Thank you so much for bringing good news, and thank you so much for letting us as broken people bring good news to people who need it the most. So right now, Lord, let us just concentrate in what you're going to try to say, Lord. Let us just not be distracted and hindered by what we're going to have for lunch later on, or what we're thinking of, what we did last night, Lord. But just let us hear from you right now, Lord. We thank you so much for everything that you've been stirring up in our hearts as we came here. And we know that there's a purpose why you brought us here right now, not just as an accident, Lord. We thank you so much for what you're going to do. And let these words just speak into our soul and hearts, Lord. We love you. We love you. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, forever and ever, everyone says amen. All right. Before I start, I just wanted to ask one question. Who here has a busy life? Hands up, or you can, if you don't want to put your hands up, you can look at me awkwardly. Busy life, anyone? Yes, yes. That's what I was expecting. Yeah, some people joking back. That's cool. So I think since we've been conditioned by our culture to be instantaneous, go, 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 and just having to submit to deadlines and all these things, right? We find ourselves busy, and we find ourselves under the pump, on edge a lot of times, and a lot of times some of us even get stressed out. So some of us find ourselves with two jobs, right? And some of us find ourselves working really late. And even for high school kids, yes, I know you guys have a busy life as well, even though maybe some parents would say, nah, not even. I understand everyone's life is unique. You all take our, you know, we're all walk our own path and stuff. So I'll give you somewhat that I'd say you're busy, right? So, you know, when we get busy, we sort of always want to try to take time out and maybe go to a place that, you know, we want the world to disappear, the problems of the world just to wash over us and just go, right? And who has a place that they go to like that? It could look different to people. Maybe some people go to a coffee shop, and you go there by yourself, and maybe you have a coffee and all the problems of the world disappear. Who goes to a coffee? Awesome, yeah. It'd be great if that was the actual solution to the world problems. So, like, you know, we just all have coffee, and we'll all have the shakes, and we'll all be on edge. Trent will be happy. He loves, yeah, no, just joking. No. Anyway, but, or for some, it could be a place that you go to at home after a long day's work. Or maybe for some, it's when the kids are asleep and you're hanging out with your spouse. That's your refuge, your sanctuary, when all the problems of the world just disappear. Or maybe for some, it's church. Maybe it's life group. Maybe for some, it's a specific location like a beach or a specific holiday place that you keep going back to. Joke there. But okay, let me just tell you a quick story on, so who has a place like that they go to, maybe a holiday? Awesome. Cool. Maybe some of you, I know you do, you're just afraid to say it. So I'll tell you how busy my life is just as an example. So at the moment, I'm studying for a degree. I am working at the same time. I help a little bit at the generations. I'm writing a book, looking for a publisher at the moment. If there's a publisher out there, you talk to me after. And at the same time, I know I try to balance my time with spending time with my family and friends, and you know, I have my life group with the youth and the basketball sometimes. So when times get really tough and everything's on pump, my mind just like I can't deal, but a lot of times I just need to just relax and recompose myself and just have a break, right? So for example, last semester, at the end of that semester, you know, usually as a degree student, you have exams, you have essays due and all these things, and at the same time, we had my youth winter camp just happening then. One of my family members just passed away, so that was going on in my life. And then on top of all that, I was still working. So everything was just go, right? Like, I just can't deal. And I don't know if anyone else's mind works like this. My mind is like cluttered with heaps of thoughts, right? And it can only fit so much. And so what I need to do is like compartmentalize things so I can fit more stuff in there. That's probably the worst analogy. If there's a psychologist here, I'm sorry. It's an analogy, by the way. So that's it. So like I just needed to like rest. So I went to this place, which is almost let it go then. I didn't want anyone going there. So it's at it's overlooking water, right? So there's your clue if you want to go there, try to find it. So I drove down there, said, hey, you know what, I'm gonna spend 30 minutes in here just to recompose myself and just calm down and maybe compartmentalize some thoughts, right? So I drove down, like no one there, just parked, and I sound really antisocial telling you this story because I'm just bummed. Anyway, so this is going somewhere, I promise. So I just parked there, and I was just watching the sunset go down. Now it gets really antisocial. The sunset's going down, and I'm just recomposing my thoughts. It was great, awesome, awesome, awesome. Maybe 20, 30 minutes in, another car pulls up, and it parks right next to me. Like, there's, like, heaps of places as well, and you're like, oh, my goodness, what's going on? And, like, you know when you try not to make eye contact with someone, right? And I think it probably would have been awkward by now because, you know what, sunset was going down. I was by myself in my car. They probably thought I was crying or something like that. And I was like, promise you I wasn't crying. But you know how you see it out of the corner of your eye? It's someone you know. And I was like, they come to my work to get food and they come to my work to get drinks and stuff. And I kept trying not to look, so I kept looking this way. So maybe like in a few more minutes, another car pulls up. It's a P-plate car, red P-plate, it's not green. And it was a car full of like boys playing soccer. So like they got soccer ball outside kicking. I was like, oh my goodness. Just really want some peace and quiet. Like, Lord, I was trying to pray. What's going on? Anyway, so they was like, maybe I should just walk out and maybe just go for a walk and come back. So I did walk out and maybe 100 meters down that way. Try not to say where it is that way. Started drizzling. And I was like, come on. I just really wanted to relax. But, oh my goodness, it's not working. So you know what? I left. You know what? We all go to a place of refuge. That's just my place of refuge. You know what? And a place of refuge or a place of sanctuary can do two things for you. You can go in there and, you know what, feel okay for that moment in time. But when you leave that place and you come back to life, you come back to reality, you come back to where you were from, all the problems come back. And you're like, nothing really got solved, did it? So you got to keep going back to it. And it's like sort of like you're caught in this loop that it's not really doing anything for you. You're getting a temporary fix. Or a refuge can actually change how you look at life. It can change where you place your hope in, how you conduct yourself, how you compose yourself, how you relate to others. And most of all, it's a place where you can go, hey, you know what? This is changing me in a different sense. Everyone, hey, you, I know you have a problem right now. You got to go to this place. So you can, that's a refuge. So you know what? I see the Generations Ministry as that second type of refuge. Because you know what? The Generations Ministry is not about just temporary fixes or just for this moment in time. We're about every aspect of your life for the rest of your life until eternity, right? So I'm going to give you some stories right now, right from the very beginning. We have our graduation. So we have kids like Josh Robinson. Where's Josh? Somewhere. He's here somewhere. Yeah, there he is. So Josh started coming to the graduation, which is in year 6. And you know what? Maybe he just started coming for games. I don't know. I don't want to put things in your mouth, but he was enjoying the games, right? And there was this one moment. I can't remember the actual date of it, but you know what? He was praise and worship, you know, as I do. This is not weird. When I'm playing keys, sometimes I look up and just watch people worship. It inspires me to go into worship. It's not creepy or anything. So I was watching Josh worship. Like, I've never seen a kid worship before. And I'm like, this is a kid in year 6. in our Josh has graduated onto my youth. And every time I look up, as I do, Josh has separated himself from the group of boys in praise and worship. Because you know what? He wants to encounter God. Because in the graduation, you know, they sow seeds to understand faith, hope, love, and purpose in your lives, right? And now when we go to my youth, you know what? These high school kids are struggling with their identity. You know what? The culture around them says, hey, you know what? Stay true to yourself. Find out who you are and stay true to yourself. So when a youth kid goes into the mirror and looks at the mirror, they see 15 different people looking back at them. And that's an analogy again, because it'd be weird if 15 people. So, but you know what I'm trying to say, right? So 15 people are looking back at the youth kid and say, you know what? Who am I? So in my youth, it's not just a daycare that you drop your kids off to. It's a place where you understand who you are, who you're basing your identity in for the rest of your life, because the culture will tell you who you are. So these kids finding out who they are in Christ end up, hey, you know what? I like music. I want to become a musician. Hey, you know what? I like helping people. I want to start a life group at my school. And we have kids standing for injustice. It's crazy. I have Josh Eugenio's not here. Amazing story. So I don't have the permission to say this story. But kids standing up for social justice. And then we have the gap years, which is 18 to 20, as you know already. These kids are trying to go through what the implications of their Christianity is. What to drop off and what to take up. What to take up. I have a great story with Veronica. You know what? A few weeks ago, she asked me, hey, you know what? God's active in the world and fixing everything, transforming everything. So how does that correlate with suffering and evil? Great question, right? This is the kind of stuff that they're going through. You know what? They're trying to seek and understand their faith, which is theology. As much as they probably don't know what that is, they're doing it. So this is serious stuff and this is heavy stuff. And finally, when we get to One Love, you know what? These guys, I so admire these two, because you know what? They look at culture around them in its meaninglessness and purposelessness, if that's a word. And you know what? We got to affect it. We got to affect it with kingdom culture. So they build friendships that are based in Christ that aren't just temporary. Like, you know, you meet someone in a club. These guys don't just go hang out in themselves because they go, okay, we can't go to a club, so let's just do our own thing. No, we see a bigger picture in this. You know what? We got to affect those people, and we got to bring them into the kingdom. Build friendships that last for eternity, right? So this is what the Generations Ministry is. Every single aspect of someone's life. You probably go, oh, well, what about someone's emotional needs? We have coaching classes. What about someone's physical needs? We play basketball sometimes. And this is the thing. We don't compartmentalize spiritual, emotional. We're one whole person. So we attend to every single part of a person. We want to see the best in them. Because you know what? When Jesus said, hey, you know what? I'm just going to give you these bunch of... Jesus didn't just go, I'm going to give you this bunch of things so you'll be a nice person and everything's going to be just fine. No, when Jesus called us to be his followers, he asked us to change the world and to transform ourselves, a deeper transformation within our hearts, a reformation and a restoration to the person that we were intended to be right from the very beginning. Yes? And we'll look through scripture right now for that. So let's go to Matthew 5. I don't think it's going to be up there. But as you're turning to Matthew 5, I'm going to grab a drink and I'll explain what gospel is in a second. Okay, Matthew 5. Go for it. Okay, so the gospels is these four stories, right? Being a writer myself, I understand that when you write stories, there's always a focus, there's a point, there's a theme to it. So the gospels, when it was written, is the same story of who Jesus was, right? And who Jesus is. But it's in four different perspectives. So when we read the book of Matthew, we see so many Old Testament stuff in there. We're like, oh, okay, that's cool. Especially if you're a new Christian here, you get like, oh, that's nice. Prophecy being fulfilled or Messiah, that's great. Or even if you've been reading the Bible for a while, you become complacent to what these words are, right? So when we're looking at it, we got to understand the framework that it's built around. And we got to understand that there's a bigger story that's that we're a part of as people who are followers of Jesus reading the Gospels, right? And that's the story of Israel. And the build-up to that, to why Jesus came to earth, why Jesus did what he did, and who Jesus is now. So as long as we understand, and Sorry, not as long as you understand. If you understand that, we'll get a deeper understanding of who Jesus is, what the gospel is, what we're actually a part of, right? So now, excuse me, non-believers. That didn't seem rude. I'm just saying, like, now I'm just going to speak to believers, because in the context of Matthew 5, Jesus is challenging the people who are Israel, who God picked to reflect himself to the world around them. Because you know what? God wants to restore relationship back to people, right? And he's picked a certain people group, which is Israel, to affect the community around them. So now he's speaking to Israel and challenging them. Hey, you know what? You're not living up to it. So now he's saying this to people who are followers of him and who actually call themselves citizens of the kingdom of God. This is a Sermon in the Mount. You know what? We're not going to go through the whole Sermon in the Mount because it's very long. But we're going to go through one particular scripture. And if you understand the framework of around this scripture, we'll understand what's going on in the Sermon in the Mount. You know what? Is that cool? Yeah? Awesome. All right. So he says this. He's talking about salt and light. So we're in Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, almost like a refuge. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. See, that scripture is pretty dense with a lot of things, right? But I'll try to compress it into one thing. So if you say that you're a follower of Jesus, or if you say you're a citizen of the kingdom of God, you got to stand out. There has to be something distinct about you. Like salt, back in the day, they used salt not just for flavoring, but as a preservative. But the essence of salt is the saltiness of it, its usefulness. So he's saying to be salt in the world is to be useful. So if you're not being salty in that sense, you're being useless, right? I'm not saying anyone here is useless, but it's the gifts that God has given you in your life being useful to the kingdom. And then there's a positive side in his what he's saying, Jesus saying. He goes, you are the light of the world. People need to see God in you. You don't even have to say it. There has to be something distinct about you. My guys from the Gap Years, they're going through this thing about, hey, you know what? How do I share Christ with other people? I want to be able to share Christ with other people. I said, hey, you know what? The bigger challenge is if they see Christ in you without even having to share it. I'm not going to try to stay long in this, but this is the thing. As a believer of Jesus, or someone who's a citizen of the kingdom of God, you need to stand out. Jesus didn't just go, okay, now you're saved and that's it, or you can do a bunch of good deeds and stuff. But no, you need to be a light, a refuge, someone who is useful, someone distinct, right? So think about it this way. I'm just going to think of an analogy on the top of my head. Okay, not going to go that way. So this is the thing. You can't be an invisible believer. You have to ask yourself, if I'm following Jesus and he's asked me to be salt and light in the world, and I'm actually being invisible around everyone else, if people don't know you're a Christian, are you a Christian? That's my question. Or, with the good deeds, this is one of the biggest questions I was asking very early on. Why is my good deeds or the good things I do distinct from everyone else? That's exactly what Jesus is asking or telling us. There has to be something distinct about you. Just because you do good things doesn't mean you're like everyone else. There has to be something distinct of who you are. So here's my challenge to believers right now. Are you being salt and light to the people around you? So right now, if you want to close your eyes, you can close your eyes if you want. But there's someone in your life right now, in the area of your influence in your life, that is struggling. Who are you pointing them to as their refuge? To their refuge? Is it Christ? Is it the church? How are you being salt in their lives? You know they're struggling. When you yourself are struggling, where do you run? Do you run to a refuge that's only a temporary thing, or do you run to Christ? Are you helping build this church as a place of refuge with the gifts that God's given you? Or are you hiding behind your ministry? See, a place of refuge can really do two things, as I said before. But most importantly, a place of refuge is something where you put your hope in. You're hoping that it's going to, you know what, it's going to make things better. It's where you put all your bets in and you're expecting it to change things for you. You're expecting it to make everything okay. So the places that you run to, is it a hollow hope that you've placed yourself in? Or is it something that fixes you right from the core? Because that's what Jesus did. And that's what Jesus is offering. So right now, I know a lot of you have heard of Jesus. Maybe some of you don't. Maybe some of you just know him as just this person, right? You know what? There's some good news, and I just want to tell you what it is. You know what? There's a good intended purpose for your life. And maybe some of you are struggling to see that. You know what? You are crazy, dude. I don't know who you are. You're some short dude up on stage telling me that my life's good. It's horrible right now. But it's supposed to be, there's an intended good for it right from the very beginning. And I'm going to show you how. I'll show you how. Right. So you're uniquely made, right? You're uniquely you. You're uniquely given a set of gifts. And you're uniquely placed in a geographical location. So with a sphere of influence, right? Right from the very beginning, you have this relationship that was supposed to be with God, who created you and intended a good life for you, right? Somewhere along the lines, you probably said, hey, you know what? I think I'm a lot smarter than you, God, and I'm going to do my own thing, and I'm going to pursue my own thing here, and I'm just going to do my own thing. So we enter into a path of unreliability and uncertainty rather than the intended good that was planned for us. So we enter into this cycle of sin. You know what? Everyone thinks sin is this old school word where, you know what, it's just a separation with God and all that thing. But I'm going to push that one step further. You know what sin is? It's actually this idea of broken relationship with absolutely everything. Broken relationship with your friends, family members, everyone around you. That's why there's so much war. That's why there's so much anger with people. Because it's a broken relationship with absolutely everyone else. And it's a broken relationship with absolutely everything that God created good, which includes the environment, which includes animals. Like, you know what I mean? So it's just this broken relationship that we get born into. So we're predisposed to it. So what happens is we get born into sin. We become victims of sin. So what happens is this. You become a victim of abuse, cheating, lying, greed, injustice. Right? But we can't stop there because we're victimizers of sin as well because it's the cycle, right? So you victimize people with abuse, cheating, lying, injustice. And the cycle just keeps going and going and going and going and going and going. We can't break out of it because we're born into it. We victimize people with it. People get born into it. Because, you know what I mean? So since we've chosen this path, sometimes we think we get hit with the big existential questions. You know what? Is this really it? What have we done? Who am I? What's going on here? But here's the great news. God, out of his love, says, you know what? I'm going to help you out. I love you so much. We got to get back into this. You know what? And a lot of you are probably struggling with that. You know what? How do I know that God actually loves me? I'm going to show you how. And the youth will probably be familiar with this image because I use it all the time. And I'm going to use it again. Love it. It's my favorite. When we say that someone loves us, how do we actually know? They come for us themselves. So one of my friends got married not too long ago. You know what? When he proposed to his wife, he didn't send someone else. He didn't send his younger brother. Yep, go. He didn't send his younger brother. He didn't send someone better, hopefully not better looking, maybe someone less good looking so he'll appear better. Or he didn't send someone, you know, anyone else. He went himself to ask her to marry him. So the same way when God says, I love you, I'm going to come rescue you. He doesn't send an angel. He doesn't send a prophet. He doesn't send another man. He comes himself as Jesus Christ in earth to, you know what, live a perfect life. Because that's what it takes to break the cycle. You following? So he became a victim of sin, but he didn't become a victimizer. He broke the cycle. So now what? Since we believe that what he did and we follow what he exemplified, we can get back into this good intended life and restore this relationship that we have with God. That's why I love Jesus. Two things are going to happen when you leave today. You're going to choose to go back to that same cycle, running to the same refuge, filled with just hollow hope. And I don't know why. Or you can say, you know what? That's it. You know what? I'm going to follow this. This seems not just plausible. This is it. This is what I've been waiting for. The broken cycle to get back into the intended life that I have. A hope that fixes it right from the core. I can't make the decision for you today. You're going to make that decision once you leave this place. Actually, you're going to make that decision in about 2 minutes when I give an appeal in a second. But it's going to be up to you to decide. You're going to head back to that same cycle you've been running to. Running to the same refuge that seems hollow. Or be part of this good intended life. You know what? You came in here probably thinking like, hey, you know what? I heard those kids are going to take over that service. That seems pretty fun, right? But you know what? No. There's an opportunity given to you today, you know what? To hear amazing good news. To be part of a refuge. To restore your life to how it was intended to be. And help other people restore their lives as well. To be salt and light in the world. So let's just close our eyes. This moment is for you. As Luke said, the praise and worship is for Jesus because we celebrate what he did. But this moment is for you. The authority that I'm saying that your sins are forgiven and you can restore your life is not my authority. It's Jesus' authority. And as I said, once we believe what he did, live the perfect life, died for us, so we can head back into this relationship with God, live our life to how it was intended to be, that relationship is restored. So everyone's eyes just closed, believer or non-believer. Right now, if you're a believer, you should be praying like crazy right now. So here, if you're here and you know you have an idea of Jesus or you don't know who Jesus is, and you know what? You're sick and tired of just going in this cycle over and over again. You want to change your life, all you got to do is say yes in your heart. But what I'm going to get you to do as well, so we can connect with you and help you out in this decision, is all I'm going to ask you to do is just quickly put your hand up. I'm not going to lie, there's a few people watching, but that's okay. These people are safe, and they're actually going to help you out and talk to you after, right? So right now, I'm just going to count to three. All you got to do is put your hand up. If you make a decision right now, hey, you know what? I'm sick and tired of just going in that same cycle. I want to change the direction of my life. 1, 2, 3, put your hands up right now. Awesome. It's a few minutes longer. If you're here and you're a Christian, you know what? I don't think I'm being salty enough. I don't think I'm being light enough. We'll just get the full band to come up. Is that right? What we're going to do is we're going to spend a little bit more time just in worship. And you know what? Just really submit and ask the Lord to say, hey, you know, Lord, just place in my heart what I need to do, who I need to affect, who I need to actually direct towards the refuge that is you. So let's just all stand up.